Well, Brother Ernest prayed a sobering responsibility to me, and that is that I would speak God's thoughts. And I guess that connects with our Sunday school lesson. And it is a heavy responsibility. Speak God's thoughts across this pulpit. Wherever godly men speak, it's a heavy responsibility. I was looking through the Time magazine, which came yesterday, and they had an article in there about the movement in the evangelical church of accepting the what they term the LGBT community. And there's a mega church of some nature that is leading this movement in accepting these individuals as accepting them as with their sin. We believe that their lifestyle is a sinful lifestyle. And it described this pastor, the pastor that leads this group, that the gospel he preaches is one that is, you will find missing in it a pro-American, a pro-gun, and you'll find missing an anti-gay message in it. And I thought it was interesting how they described it that way. I hope this morning in our service you'll find missing a pro-American and a pro-gun message as well. But we believe that God does have something to say about our sexuality. I leave that at that. But I had to think about that as we were talking about Paul in the gospel that he preached, and the soberness it is, the sobering aspect it is, that what I would speak would be based on the truth of God's word. If it's not going to be based on that, we'd be better off just having 30 minutes of silence. Open your Bibles to Genesis. This morning, I'd like to do a character study on the man Joseph. As I pondered his life, I thought, you know, I could use the same 4 points that I used 2 weeks ago. I don't know how many of you remember them all. I still do. But I chose not to. Instead, as I meditated on his life, a theme came out of his life that I would like to follow that theme through. And I believe it's one that is a practical in every generation of mankind. But it is one that I think we face. It's a growing philosophy or growing understanding in our time. Perhaps it's a giant that we will face more and more as time goes by, is how I could say it. And yet I see Joseph understanding God's way in this all and the beauty it brought out in his life. The story of Joseph is a classic story and has been a favorite of many. As you follow Joseph through his life, and we will do that somewhat this morning, and you see this motherless lad who was favored by his father and then envied by his brethren and sold into slavery, and yet he was faithful to God, falsely accused by his master's wife, cast into prison, forgotten by the chief butler, freed from prison, exalted next to the king of Egypt, and then reunited with his family. What can we learn from his life? What can we learn from his life? There are many aspects we could look at, but the thread that I'd like to follow through is how Joseph related to authority. Don't know why this necessarily came into my meditation, but I think it is a key. I ask myself, what is the key to Joseph's abounding through his life and his many life experiences? Not only the bad ones, but the good ones. And I think there's a theme that we can see through that. To lay a groundwork for this message, turn to a Psalm 139. Psalm 139, lays a groundwork for, I believe, how Joseph abounded in his life. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You see, Joseph apparently had an understanding that guided him through his life. And I think Psalm 139 is part of that. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There are two themes that come out of this passage that I believe Joseph had to embody to navigate his way through his experiences in life. First of all is the fact that God sees me. The omnipresence of God is the big word we use for that. But it's the fact that wherever I am, there's God beside me. Wherever I am, God is with me. Whether I'm in the dark or in the light, whether I'm in the bottom of the ocean, whether I'm in Canaan or if I'm in Egypt, whether I'm in Potiphar's house or I'm in prison, or if I am in Pharaoh's palace, wherever that is, God is there. God is there. Second one is that God owns me. God made me. Describes it here. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Second point that I believe Joseph understood was that he was accountable to God. God's ownership of him and his accountability to him. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 30. We're going to look at his story. We won't touch all the points, but we want to look at some of the highlights and follow this thought through his life. How did Joseph navigate? We'll see how his father described him when he called his sons to him and gave their blessing, so to speak. But I'd like to begin in Genesis 30, verse 22. You Bible readers know the story surrounding this, how Joseph's mother was the loved one, but she was the second wife. Leah was the first wife, and then Rachel. And Rachel was childless. But in verse 22 of chapter 30, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. She called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. So here we have the birth of Joseph. Turn over to Genesis 35. During this time, Jacob leaves his father-in-law goes back to Canaan, meets his brother Esau. Genesis 35, verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor, and it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem, and Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. So in this short passage, we see Joseph has a brother, Benjamin, but he becomes motherless as his mother dies in that childbirth. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 37. I want to pick up the theme as we go through here about Joseph's understanding of authority. And I'm not sure, the scripture doesn't outline how Joseph came to this, how he left rebelliousness of a child and understood this truth in God's kingdom. But some thoughts to think about. Perhaps he saw the wickedness of his brothers. Perhaps he saw their rebellion. If we had time, we could read in the story how his brothers behaved. And they were vile men. Reuben and Levi and Simeon and some of those. You read the story about them. They were wicked men. And I don't know. Perhaps when his brothers were away with their flocks that Abraham or Jacob had some extra time with Joseph and could teach him from some of his experiences of life. I don't know. Maybe it was Joseph looking on and seeing his brothers, their choices they made in life, and said, you know what? Their choices are bringing hard reaping. I want to do different. I don't know. But Joseph came to an understanding that every person needs to come to. It's a battle that I battled, and I believe it's a battle that each one of you battle, sometime in your life or not, or other. Who do I submit to in life? How do I surrender? In recent months, we have had a problem come to light in our country, and the problem has been called police violence. Or abuse of force. And we have the young man, Michael Brown in Ferguson. We had the gentleman in New York. We had the young lad, I forget where he was, who was waving his fake pistol. In all three cases, there was a fatality. And the message that went forth was that the police were too aggressive. The police were too quick to use force. But there was a missing truth that went forth, and that was that in all of those situations, the people did not obey. In every situation. When Michael Brown was told to get off the middle of the road, he didn't listen. When I believe it was Eric Garner up in New York City, when they confronted him selling his illegal cigarettes, he did not listen. When the young lad, I forget how old he was now, 10 or so, was waving his gun at people and they told him to put his gun down, he didn't listen. No one is teaching the true solution for this problem in our country. The true solution, the solution for each one of those situations was for the person to have obeyed the policeman. They would still be living. Two Sundays ago, we observed the rebelliousness of Joseph's descendants. We saw it very clear as they came to the land of Canaan and chose to rebel. Let's go back to Genesis 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. I don't know what that means. We could look at that and say, well, maybe Joseph is tattletaling on his brothers. I don't know. Maybe Joseph was just being responsible. And when he got home to his father, he said, Father, you know, my brothers were doing this or that. It just says he brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He had actually had two dreams. Verse 11, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed this saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. I'd like to draw a point from this here. And that is that Joseph understood what his father wanted. You see, Joseph could have gone to Shechem, not found his brethren there, and went back home because Jacob said to him, go to Shechem and find out how they're doing. But Joseph perceived that what his father really wanted was that report of how they were doing. And so he went on to Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And some will say, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and he lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of their second cousins came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to our relatives, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So we have the story of Joseph being sold. Sold to his own relatives. Do you understand that? Ishmael was a brother to his grandpa, Isaac. And here they came, and he was sold to them. Verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. I'd like to go to chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Remember the theme we're following through Joseph's life. Here it appears again. Joseph, taken from his home environment, finds himself far away in the land of Egypt. But remember, Psalm 139, Joseph remembered that God was with him. Joseph also remembered that God owned him. God was his maker. And though he found himself far away from his father's authority, he had learned that his father submitted to God, and so Joseph did as well. I think Joseph understood that many times we're under authority that we do not choose. You know, as a person, you never get to choose those basic authorities. You never choose what home that you're born into. You never choose what government is over you when you're born. We don't have that choice. Instead, they're providentially placed into our lives. And here Joseph found himself under Potiphar's authority and under God's authority way down in Egypt. How did Joseph navigate through his life and abound? I believe he understood his accountability to God, and secondly, to his master Potiphar. And we see how that worked out in his life. He found grace in his sight and served him so well that Potiphar made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. But watch, verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Here we see this theme arising again. How did Joseph navigate through his life? He remembered his accountability to God. And that accountability was greater than his accountability to his master's wife. It's authority of the master's wife. Came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. It came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. She laid up his garment unto his lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in to me to mock me. It came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." Joseph's master was angry, took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Again, we see this theme coming forth. When Joseph found himself in a new situation, he responded with that basic premise again. God was his owner. He was under God's authority, and he was now under the keeper's authority. You see, he found himself in a situation out of his own choosing, but where he could respond in a right way so that he can abound in that situation. Joseph understood that God would hold him accountable for that sin. And so he said, how could I do it? And he fled from it. In a sense, he was caught between the authority of his master's wife and the authority of God. But Joseph knew that the right choice was to obey God and endure the consequences for that obedience. Now in the prison, perhaps you would say the situation went from bad to worse. But he again understands those two fundamental things, his accountability to God and to his master, which was now his prison keeper. You know, this prison was the perfect place to be despondent. It was the perfect place to become bitter against God. It's the perfect place to just be eaten up by the unfairness of life. But Joseph realized in all of this, God had a right thing for him to do. In every situation he found, God had a right thing for him to do. And he did it. And he did it in such a way that it won that prison keeper's heart, trust, confidence, and so he was in charge of all the prisoners. As the story goes, the baker and the butler have a dream, and he interprets that dream. God gives him the interpretation. The butler is restored to Pharaoh. The baker is hanged. And Joseph told the butler to remember him, but the butler forgot. We don't know how many years went by till Pharaoh has a dream that needs interpretation. And the butler remembers that man in prison. How many years had Joseph served faithfully in that prison until the butler remembered? I don't know. But he came to Pharaoh and explained to him the dream and how these years of famine, plenty would come, and then these years of famine. And he advised the Pharaoh what to do about this, to prepare for this. In verse 37 of chapter 41, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh gives him a wife in verse 45. Now, if we would think that being sold into slavery, falsely accused and put into prison was enough to throw a young man off of his moorings, off of the foundation of his life, how much worse is this exaltation? Men normally can't handle this. We normally can't handle both extremes in our lives like this. It causes us to lose our way. But it didn't Joseph. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And it goes on in the story of how he saved Egypt from that from the devastation of that famine. Now at the right hand of Pharaoh, second only to Pharaoh. My question to you is, what stabilized Joseph through all these experiences? What helped him to abound in all these experiences? Turn over quickly to chapter 49. Chapter 49, Jacob is soon going to die. And he gathers his sons together and he goes across, goes down and gives his blessing or cursing to them for how they have lived. Verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Okay, this is a description of someone who has flourished in life, someone who has been fruitful. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. You see, that is the description of how Joseph's life was through all these circumstances in life. And the question I ponder is, what would my story have been? What would your story have been if you would have had those same experiences brought into your life? What foundation am I built on? At the end of the day, what holds me to center when I am at the bottom or when I'm exalted? When I am mocked by my brethren or when I am placed next to Pharaoh? When I am falsely accused by my master's wife, or when I meet my brethren, when my brethren are my servants, as they were in Joseph's life. When they came down to Egypt, begging, so to speak, they were on hands and knees before him, and Joseph had all that he would have needed to avenge himself. Right there. He didn't. So you following with me? What stabilized Joseph? And I go back to those two basic points. He understood his accountability to God. He understood that God was with him and that God owned him. And he also understood that when that is the way it is, when you understand that, you find yourself under the authority in life that you are, whether it is Potiphar or the prison keeper or Pharaoh. Genesis 50. His father has died, and his brethren are sure that now Joseph will. What has been holding Joseph back has been the fact that our father was still living. And out of respect and out of respect to our father, he withheld judgment on us. But now our father is gone. Verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph. See, their father even thought this as well, unless they were lying here. I don't know. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? See, the theme comes again. What guided Joseph at this time when he could have avenged himself? Am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You see, through a life of delighting in God, through a life of knowing God was with him, when he came to this situation in life that would tempt a man, he knew that it was not his to do. It was not his to avenge. Instead, he needed to be merciful to his brethren and leave God that judgment. Can we learn from Joseph through those experiences in his life? I don't know why God laid this message on my heart, why he took me there in my study and in my meditation. But perhaps this morning you can identify with Joseph somewhere in your life. Maybe through one of those scenes you see yourself there. I don't know. It's possible. These experiences aren't just Joseph's. They're ones that we can experience in our lives as well. Betrayed, mocked, lied about. Or on the other side, maybe it's exalted. Maybe someone spoke well of you in your hearing and you're tempted to be raised up in pride. I don't know. What will stabilize you in your life? What will be the anchor in your life? What is God in your life this morning? Will I respond as Joseph to those around him, or will it be like his older brothers? And we don't have the time to follow their life story. But for many of them, they chose the opposite of Joseph and suffered for that. What will be my response today and yours? Let's kneel for prayer. Father God, I thank you that you are the same God that Joseph had many, many years ago. Thank you that you were faithful, and thank you that he was faithful to you through those diverse circumstances in his life. Father, we find ourselves in those as well today, from time to time. And oh God, I pray that we would understand your nearness to us. We would understand that we can't hide from you and that you know every aspect of our life. Furthermore, I pray that I would understand that you created me and that you have every right to speak into my life. You have every right to arrange the circumstances in my life to put me in prison, sell me into slavery, or to exalt me beside Pharaoh. Father, it behooves me that I could walk faithfully in my life like Joseph did. But Father, that when there are those that would do me wrong and I could avenge them, that I would forgive them. And that I could feed them and nourish them and show Christ to them. Father, I pray that the fruit of the resurrection would flourish from my life and from our lives as a congregation. And that we could be as Joseph with the bow, with our bows climbing up over the side of the well, fruitful in the experiences of life. God, we know not what's ahead of us. There are giants in the land. There are walled cities. And yet you are faithful. I pray that through our worship service this morning, that we would again draw near to you. And I believe we have. But I pray that it would not just be a Sunday experience, but that it would call us through the week. We would take time to draw near to you so that we could find our strength, find our identity, find our direction for life as we feed from your word and drink from the living water. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.